from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It is dead center of the work week, our hump show, your hump day. Happy Wednesday to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Just through with another scintillating edition of Ask Amy Anything. But honestly, that was a blip in what's been a unique show that I really wasn't expecting to become so engaging. Thank you for that. You and your answers and your responses are exactly what I needed after some technical difficulties before the show started. I will readily admit I was a little bit flustered, kind of angry, frustrated. And when I started the show, I was feeling all out of sorts. But the way that you've responded to my questions about National Radio Day have reminded me that that what I do and why I do it, those things have never changed, no matter how bad the situation gets, no matter how bad the circumstances. And I just said to Manny, who's behind the double pane glass, we're actually texting back and forth because right now we don't have our other form of communication via the computer screen. But just was saying to him, it's a great reminder that you can only control you and your actions and your attitude. There's so many other things and people that are out of your control. And a lot of times, you know, inadvertently or on purpose, some of the decisions that they make affect us in negative ways. And yet, really, there's no recourse. We had no choice but to try to figure it out. So we were problem solving before the show. And then I was coming into it thinking, okay, it's National Radio Day. I can't have a bad attitude. But you all have greatly improved my attitude. I was feeling a little to start the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. Manny tells me we've got full phone lines, actually, and that he's really excited about getting to more of these callers. And the reason you're weighing in, because Tuesday was National Radio Day. We'll just call this National Radio Week. Why not? It's like celebrating your birthday all week. I have a lot of people who actually will extrapolate and call it their birthday month. That's taking a little bit too far. Let's not get carried away. And so we're calling this National Radio Week, and we're asking you online and on the phones, why do you love radio? Why do you listen? Maybe what got you started in radio? I go back to when I was an early teen and I would sneak my radio. It was a Walkman, something else that was great from the 90s. I had a yellow Walkman, bright yellow, with the little headset that went over the top of your head and then plugged into your ears. Remember that? It was a cassette. If you Google Walkman, Sony Walkman, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Mine was yellow with gray trim. And when I wasn't listening to a cassette, I was listening to the radio. And Westwood One, that's a lot of times what I would be listening to at night when I was supposed to be in bed. But also, growing up in New Hampshire, I couldn't follow the Boston Celtics on TV because we didn't have cable. So I could only watch the games that were on national TV. And so I discovered them on the radio and fell in love with the idea of describing the action in a way that people who couldn't see it with their own eyes didn't feel like they were missing anything. And Honestly, it was love at first sight, or it was love at first listen. And I became a radio junkie even in, you know, as early as a teenager. And that has never changed. And so National Radio Day appeals to me at the basic level because I love radio. I love the intimate and the immediate nature. I also love the fact that I can take the scenic route. I can tell stories. You guys, I was not meant to be on TV where you get 90 seconds, bite-sized chunks. It's so segmented. It's so fragmented. And also it's so set. It's so controlled. Radio is not controlled, at least not the way I do it. I know there are other people who don't take the scenic route like I do, but I love radio because it offers the chance for connection. It allows me to be who I am. And many of you will tell me you feel like you know me, which means I'm doing something right. I never have yet pulled off the perfect show, but if we're connected in some way, that means I'm doing something right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, online at A-Law Radio, and producer Manny is retweeting your responses to our question of, why do you love radio? Do you have a favorite host or station or network when you listen? And we'd love to hear from you in honor of National Radio Day. Now, a couple of storylines from the sports world, and then we'll get back to your calls and your responses. Speaking of responses, Brian Flores had a previously scheduled press conference. He was already scheduled. I just want to emphasize that. He was already scheduled to meet the media on Tuesday. And then the tone of that press conference changed drastically when Tua Tagovailoa did an interview with the Dan Le Batard show. Now, to my understanding, the interview was done last week, but his comments about Brian Flores, they became more public on Monday. And so Tua was comparing the coaching style of Brian Flores, who had him for the first 2 years there with the Dolphins before he got fired, and Mike McDaniel. Two completely different personalities. And what Tua had to say, well, it resonated around the NFL.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are.
And he goes on to talk about being the president of the United States, and even then, it would be a drain, and it would drag you down. That's to his perspective. He didn't rip Brian Flores personally, but he did, of course, expose his coaching style, at least the style that he employed when he was in Miami. Again, Flores already had a press conference scheduled for Tuesday. It lasted roughly 17 minutes, and I thought it was interesting that he had a couple of his defensive players with the Vikings, so he's now the Vikings DC. He had a couple of his defensive players who were on either side of them, or on either side of him, as he was talking, and he said actually it meant a lot to them to be there, but it meant a lot to him that he would support him. That they would support him. And at times, he seemed emotional as well. I don't know that Tua was looking for an apology. I don't know that Flores issued an apology, but he definitely did admit that he made some mistakes and seemed to own up to the fact that, the way that he handled his relationship with Tua didn't work.
Part of coaching is correcting. I'm always going to correct. I'm always going to have a high standard. Look, I've done a lot of reflecting and, you know, on this situation. And, you know, I think there's things that I could do better, for sure. And I've grown in that way. And I've tried to apply the things that I could do better and the things that I've learned, you know, over the last 2-3 years. But I would say over the long haul, I've had a lot of great relationships over my 21-year career here in the league. But I'm also always looking to get better and involved. I'm open to getting better. And that's always the... always my mindset.
Were were to use the word terrible person, I'm just curious how that hit you when you saw Brittany.
Look, I'm human, so that hit me in a way that, you know, wasn't, I wouldn't say it was, you know, positive for me. But at the same time, I've got to use that and say, hey, how can I grow from that situation and create a world where that's not the case, that anyone says that about Brian Flores.
He responded differently than I would have, which is fine. I probably would have been much more emotional than he was and would have just felt terrible to the point where I would have apologized to Tua so that the world could hear it. But in his own way, Flores is admitting that he messed up. And when the reporter follows up with, how does it make you feel when you hear or you're reminded that called, or that, I guess, that Tua referenced him as a terrible person, right? Like that you were called a terrible person by a coach or by a player that you used to coach. And he says, you know, it doesn't make me feel great. I'm human. And that certainly is understandable. So I'm interested by the responses that he had. I do think that it took a lot of courage to stand there and answer those questions, though they were going to follow him regardless. There was no way he was going to be able to avoid it, so you might as well go ahead and get it over with. And he said, I've got to get used to the fact that these things are out there and that someone has labeled me a terrible person, and how can I grow from that? How can I use this experience to be better? And isn't that the best of what we can do and how we can respond in situations where we failed miserably? I mean, Brian Flores got fired by the Dolphins, and if you believe some of the reports, in large part, it is because of his relationship with Tua. Now, there were a lot of other things happening there. I told you recently, I don't think that Stephen Ross and the Dolphins put him in a good position. They essentially made him the scapegoat as they're divesting themselves of pretty much every successful and veteran piece they have in order to stockpile draft picks. Remember, this was happening. And as much as Brian Flores was kind of saddled with addressing a locker room that was losing so many of its leaders and its veterans and its best players, he was the bad guy. But also, if it's true, and I know the NFL's investigation, I'm using my air quotations, its investigation didn't reveal any evidence that Stephen Ross was paying Brian Flores to tank or was giving him incentives to lose games. There was also that as well, that Ross and his front office were playing for the future and Flores was left with the broken pieces and to try to make something of them. Now, does that excuse some of the methods that he used? Well, no. You don't want to treat people like trash. You're never going to get the best of them in that case. But I feel like we might all be able to relate. It's changed, certainly, in this generation. But I know I had a couple coaches who were really hard on me. One in particular, my high school basketball coach, he made me cry. Now, I was a girl, an emotional girl, so I don't think he was trying to make me cry. But the way that he talked to me and the way that he forced me to practice on one end of the court all by myself, right, because he wanted me to learn how to be ambidextrous underneath the hoop. I mean, I hated the way that he used tough love on me. It made me feel just awful. And I would cry to my mom. I loved basketball, but this coach, he was so mean to me. No, looking back, he was tough, right? He felt like the best way to get me to work harder was to poke me a little bit and to be tough on me. And you know what? He was right. He was right. Think about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. There is no doubt that Brady bristled under some of the techniques that were used by Bill Belichick, treating him the same as everyone else. Right, so no special rules for you as a quarterback, even if you are the best freaking quarterback in the entire league. Even if you do have 3-4 Super Bowl rings.
What do I look like?
You're still going to get called out in film sessions. And later in his career, Brady decided he wanted something different. Remember when he went to play for Bruce Arians initially in Tampa and how free he seemed, right? All of a sudden, we realized that he had a personality under there. And so tough love does work. It does work, but it very often depends upon the personality of the player, the athlete in this case, the student that you're teaching or that you're instructing. It did not work with Tua. Mike McDaniel's validation and encouragement and support and the way that he builds Tua up, the way that he gives him confidence, the way that he is the wind beneath his wings, that works better for Tua. But I dare say if you polled every player in the NFL right now, there are some guys that are okay with being pushed hard with that tough love, and they don't take it personally when someone is hard on them. Again, not excusing some of the things that Brian Flores may have said, and it seems like he's admitting to those things, and he's recognizing that he didn't always take the same or take the right route or use the right methods to get to his quarterback. Tough love is maybe not used as much in our current generation. Let's be honest. Coaches now are called on the carpet by their own athletes for ways that they might speak to them. And we've had coaches fired because they yell at players and athletes and create an atmosphere where the athletes feel like they're not being heard, or it's uncomfortable, or it's hard. I mean, there's a fine line there, right? There are people on both sides of it. I do think that for Tua, it's clear that Mike McDaniel's methods brought out the best in him. The way that Brian Flores attempted to coach him didn't work. I want to give Brian Flores some grace because he does point to his 20-plus year career in the NFL and the fact that he does have really good relationships with a lot of players as well as coaches. But also, be able to acknowledge that he made some mistakes. I mean, it was his first time as a head coach, and he was put in an awful position. Does that excuse how he treats other people? No. But maybe some grace for him as well in recognizing that, that he maybe was passing on the toughness to his players, feeling like he was getting it from the other end. I mean, what doesn't kill you does, in fact, make you stronger if you choose to learn from adversity and to kind of move it forward. I always say that people who doubt me, dislike me, speak negatively of me. I've had bosses in the past that told me I was never going to be good at sports radio. Right before I left my previous network, I had a manager come to me and say, just want you to know, here as a brain trust, we've decided that we've invested enough in you and you've gone as far as you are going to go. I mean, that sucked. Now, thankfully, I had already had another job lined up. They just didn't know it. I was already making the jump to what was CBS Sports Radio. They just didn't know it. But it's hard when you feel like people don't have faith in you. And when they feel like that you're not good at what you do. At the same time, and I hope this is the case for Tua as well, doubters, haters, people who believe you're not worth it or tell you that you're not worth the investment, yeah, that could be a powerful motivator, a very powerful motivator. At A-Law Radio, why do you love radio? And what do you listen to that just makes you happy? Whether it's a host, a station, our network, a lot of you work overnight, so you travel a ton for work, and so you're able to keep up just across the miles and across the hours, and that's awesome. Thanks so much for finding us, again, online. And thank you for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Good morning to you. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
People ask me about former producer Jay. I have not heard back from my last text message. When I do, I will let you know. I know he was pursuing other avenues for work and had at least one interview, and I'm anxious to find out if he got the job or if he's continuing to look. And yeah, it was going to require a move if he got that job, so I'm not sure what happened after the last time I talked to him. So it's been about 3 weeks since he called and we had a conversation. It's been so crazy here in studio, plus my mom's visit that got extended by the bad weather and all the plane delays and flights that were canceled that I haven't had a chance to catch up with him. Like this tweet I just see from Toby, "Sports talk radio is my escape, especially overnight radio. Love to have it on. It's a pleasant distraction from all the madness in the world." I appreciate that, Toby. And my approach to doing sports radio, I do not take it seriously. I know it's big business, and there are times where sports and quote-unquote real life intersect, where we have real problems that are highlighted through the lens of the sports world. I'm not saying that it's all fun and games all the time, but for the majority of the time, it's entertainment, and radio is supposed to be entertaining. At least that's how I view it. Sports talk radio, it's not important, right? This is not important. We figured out how important sports are. I mean, they employ a lot of people, but in terms of the games themselves, we figured out how important they were during the pandemic. I mean, they're entertainment. They're something we spend our discretionary income on. They're ways that we do, in fact, escape. Now, sports have the power to heal. They bring us together. There is value in sports, in playing and in following them. But I just talk about them for a living. So you'll never hear me tell you that what I do is important, but I do think it has a role. And so my irreverent approach is to not take sports or myself too seriously and hope that I can keep you company and that we can connect just over normal, quote unquote, life things, right? Because the vast majority of life is routine and mundane. It's not the exciting walk-off home run fireworks and all that jazz. 855-212-4227. All right. So here's what we're going to do. So many of you are on the phones wanting to talk about National Radio Day and to share what you love about radio. So we're going to try to run through as many of these calls as we can. So I'm asking you to keep them relatively curt, not saying 30 seconds, but if you could limit yourself to about 90 seconds or so, we'll get to more peeps that way. Gilberto in San Diego, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hola, Amy. ¿Cómo estás?
Bien. Muy cansada. No.
Pues sí, son las casi las 5 de la mañana.
Right. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I've been listening to you throughout. Congratulations for all your achievements, okay?
Thank you.
And you are my favorite host for the last 4 years that I've listened to you.
Aww.
Because we had some great conversations in Spanish, okay? Although many people don't speak Spanish, so I had to keep it in English. And my favorite time of the year is coming up, same as yours.
Yes.
Okay, and it's amazing. I started listening to radio when I was, I think, on my mother's womb because my dad loved the Dodgers. So I remember Vin Scully since I have memory. He's been the greatest broadcaster that I have ever listened, especially calling the games.
Yes.
And I still enjoy it going back in YouTube listening to him.
Oh, and, we can do that? I need to go back on YouTube and listen to Vin Scully.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was amazing telling you stories. And the greatest time of my life was when I lived in L.A. in the 80s because I had to listen. I got to listen to Bob Miller with the Kings, Chick Hearn with the Lakers, and Vin Scully with the Dodgers.
Awesome.
I believe three of the greatest play-by-play men and narratives in the history of broadcasting, I think.
They are good. I mean, we know they're legendary, but it is funny how I hear from sports fans in different parts of the country, and they would all swear to you that their local play-by-play announcers are the best in the world, the best that's ever done it. And I think that's how it's supposed to be, right? That's how we're supposed to get attached to not just our teams and the athletes, but also our announcers.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And one of the broadcasters that just came back for the Dodgers that had a back issue is Charlie Steiner. He's calling the games again at least 3 innings, and it's great to listen to him. And I heard your interview with Sammy Leff. Okay,
yes.
I listened to him in San Diego, and I was at the game last night, even though I'm not a Padres fan, but I love baseball because it's a great game, and it was an amazing game. And this postseason, Amy, you're going to have, I mean, I don't know how you're going to do it, but 4 hours is not going to be enough. This is going to be one of the greatest MLB seasons and NFL and basketball coming on. But I will be listening to you, especially Sunday nights to Monday and Monday to Tuesday. And
awesome.
I hope you do get your yearly picks of Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner, okay?
Yes.
You have to do that.
We do. We have to keep up those traditions. Thank you, Gilberto. he helps me. Practicando mi español con Gilberto.
Yes, sí, lo oigo. Muy bien, Amy.
I can practice with Manny, too,
that's
actually.
Right, yeah.
Why am I overlooking producer Manny? All right, let's see.
The guy is drunk.
No. I miss Kevin Harlan.
Every play is nuts.
Let's talk to Lee in Great Falls, Montana. Welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
I enjoy listening to you every night here on Big Sky Sports 99.9 in Great Falls.
Nice.
And, you know, I started listening to sports radio back in, I would say, the mid-60s, about 65, 66, listening to the Dodger games, of course, with Vin Scully and back then Jerry Doggett. And it just, you know, the more I listened, the more I wanted to get behind the mic and try my luck.
Nice.
And I did. I did work radio for 12 years.
That was enough, huh? You were done after that?
Well, I think it was a mutual understanding.
Oh.
But I wound up going from broadcast radio into print media.
Mm.
And I spent 23 years writing sports for the Great Falls Tribune before I retired in 2022.
Oh, congratulations.
And I started listening to you back in the pandemic, when the pandemic first hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, the way you handled everything through not having sports available to fall back on, it was just amazing. Yeah, I think you've done a heck of a job.
I appreciate that. It certainly changed my perspective on radio and even my show, just understanding that, well, first of all, there were no sports, but mostly that what people wanted was a connection. And not that I've ever been inauthentic. People ask me sometimes, is that your real voice or the stories you tell real? Oh, gosh, I don't have time or energy to pretend to be something I'm not. So, yes, what you see is, in fact, Amy Lawrence. But I really wanted to just be authentic and recognize that people needed to know they weren't alone. I needed to know I wasn't alone because I felt like I was the vast majority of the time having to work from home. Thankfully, at the time, I had three pets who followed me everywhere. They were great companions during that time, those 2.5 months of working from home. Also, I bought a house and I was moving. And let me just tell you, moving during a pandemic is as much fun as it sounds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's do one more. Tell me which one, Manny, since you got them in front of you. How about Marcus in Detroit? Marcus in Detroit, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
I appreciate you allowing me this opportunity.
Sure.
To tell my little short story. I think I fell in love with sports radio as a real youngster, sitting on the porch listening to Tiger Baseball, Detroit Tiger Baseball, and the great voice of Ernie Harwell.
Mm.
I'm not sure if many people know about Ernie Harwell, but just like you just said, we always think our guy is the best ever.
Yes.
And he was unbelievable. I do know about Vin Scully and Chick Hearn and Harry Carey and those guys.
Uh-huh.
But this dude just, I mean, he put you right in the stadium. He was
Yes.
amazing. And anybody has a chance, go on YouTube to and listen to some of the games and his sayings. And like I said, they put you right there. I don't want to take too much of your time. I do want to congratulate you. I hadn't talked to you in a while. Obviously, I drive a truck in the middle of the night. So I do this and listen to you every day, Monday through Thursday anyway.
Sweet.
When I'm in my truck. I like to give credit to my sports radio guys. And it's kind of amazing how sports radio kind of, it's more of a connection. Like, I get to listen to John Jansen in the morning, who's a ex-NFL player. He played for the Redskins for about 10 years and then a few years with the Lions before he retired. And I call those guys every Monday after the Lions game because I travel to most of the games on the road. I don't go to the home game. So I get to enjoy all that. But I've been listening to it since Ike the Mega Man Griffin and Rob Parker were local guys here.
Yes,
and they're
yes.
national guys now. But I do enjoy it. I love listening to you, all the things that you've gone through, your evolution over the last 5 or 6 years since I started listening overnight, and really proud of the way you demanded getting back into the studio during the pandemic.
Oh, I did. I hated being home.
That was super impressive. Anyway, you guys take care and thanks for
Thank
the
you.
Opportunity.
Oh, no, it's good to talk to you, Marcus. And we're glad to keep you company, of course. As I've said multiple times on this show, it's been a frustrating summer. I've gotten lost sometimes in my discouragement and just feeling like the radio that I love and the radio that I want to do has not been the product that we're putting out here this summer as we're going through this transition. But you all are... you're sticking with us, which is an encouragement to me. All right, coming up, not only do I have more of your responses, why you love radio? I don't know why I'm yelling it. I just am. Mm-hmm. Manny just gave me a look. Whoa. Actually, can I tell you something funny? I saw this post on social. Every now and then social's good for humor, right? But I saw this post and it so applies to me. Are you ready? You got to say it the right way. This was on a marquee sign at a truck stop. Never in the history of calm down has anyone calmed down by being told to calm down.
That is correct.
Not simmer down or relax or anything like that. I had to have that conversation with my husband before we got married. One time he uttered, relax.
Take a chill pill.
No, that does not work. It's never worked. It's never going to work. Although I have no idea why I just yelled that. Why you love radio? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. Marco Belletti's not yelling.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Santander swats it. Deep left field. Back goes Nimmo. And this ball is long gone. Back into the stands and left. Anthony Santander making homer number 37, and there was never a doubt.
McCann drives this left field and deep, way back there, and that baby is long gone into the second deck. James McCann, he comes back to Queens, and he delivers a two-run shot.
Orioles radio with a victory over the Mets on Tuesday night. So Mets and O's have split the first two games. They're playing at Citi Field. One more to come on this Wednesday hump day, our hump show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. National radio day on Tuesday, but you know me, I get on the air late. And so we've been asking you why you love radio. If you have a favorite host or station or network that you listen to, we're blown away by your response. On both Twix and Facebook. And then our phone number, too. You guys are blowing that up as well. But you're going to have to wait and be patient, because now we have a guest in studio who we often have on our show, but first time in studio, Rob Long from our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan. And he's in New York to cover the series between the O's and the Mets because he's part of Masson, right? So is it pre and post game that you do on Masson? Oh, sorry.
Yes, I am.
Sweet. And normally then, when we have you on the show, it's this last hour because you're getting ready to do your own Big Bad Morning Show on our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan. Here you are. Hello.
I feel bad. You remember the name of my show, and once I didn't remember yours.
Well, that is one thing you'll never live down. What did you call it once?
I said the Amy Lawrence Show.
It's the most unoriginal, ridiculous name for a show ever.
It was a reach.
Why do you love radio, Rob?
Why do I love? Man, that's great. When I was a kid, I remember staying up listening to Chuck Thompson and do radio for the Baltimore Orioles. Eventually, he went on to do TV, then John Miller. And it was just baseball and radio was just the perfect marriage to me. And my mom used to listen to her songs and her music on radio. Radio was probably at the time more important to me than television. It was, because television, your shows came on once a week, and you know, radio to me was an everyday thing. I remember it was an old dude that lived in a new neighborhood we moved in Northeast Baltimore. His name was Ray, and I would go up on his porch and listen to Orioles baseball, and Ray and I would sit there listening to 9 innings of baseball. We may have said 5 sentences apiece to one another, but it was just listening to the radio. So radio to me was a way for me to develop my imagination and use my imagination. And I love that. Like, I think you use this phrase, radio junkie. I was a radio junkie growing up.
Nice. When did you decide you wanted to work in radio?
I never decided. It decided me. I was a police officer in Myrtle Beach. A man named Parrish Brown, who is still my friend to the day, we were talking, and he said, "You have a radio voice. You ever think about doing radio?" No, I never thought about doing radio. He got me into doing a hip-hop and R&B format, which became one of the top weekend shows down there in the PD in South Carolina. I got out of radio because I got promoted in law. I was in law enforcement. That was my full-time job. And I got out, and then when I went back to Baltimore, moved back home, once again, radio found me. So, and I honestly, Amy, when I went back in the sports talk with WNST, I thought maybe I would do this because I went back to college at a later phase of my life. I thought, okay, when I finish college, I'll get a job in my major, which was sports management, and I'll move on. I never thought radio would be full-time until, or would be a thing long-term for me until I was in it 10 years. I'm like, you know, I guess...
Might as well stick around.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to do this now. In fact, I think when I went to the Fan, where I am in Baltimore now, maybe a couple of years after that, I thought, you know, I think I might be into this for a little while.
Nice. And now doing the TV side. So can you see, I try to teach my students, radio and TV, not the same.
No.
There's an art to radio that you cannot use on TV. And while TV may be the more popular medium, radio has value. And as long as I've been alive, I've heard about how radio is dying and the demise, and it's still around because it's unique. But how do you enjoy TV compared to radio?
First, let me give you the difference.
Don't tell me you enjoy the money more.
No. If that's what you're doing it for, then you're sadly...
You'll get out very quickly, yes.
The pause. The pauses that you can have in radio, a TV, no, it's dead air in radio. TV is a pause. It's allowing the moment to live itself, to take its own life. In radio, that pause is... dead air. It's frowned upon.
And yet I do it so often just to freak out my producers. And
I was about to say, you killed it, because the great ones in radio can still take that pause.
Oh, I do.
And their listeners understand, because when you take me as a listener, when you take that pause, I'm like, okay, what is she? She's drumming up something.
Yeah,
she's
got something.
She's about, this is the cliffhanger. The producers just stirred the pot. That's what she's doing. She's stirring the pot. The difference to me is just... In radio, you're painting, you know, you are
storytelling.
Yeah, you're an artist. You're painting a picture. You want your listeners to see what they can't see. And if you're good at it, they see it, they get it, they imagine it. When people misunderstand what I'm saying, I think it's, you know, I look at it as, okay, I'm not doing a good job describing what I'm saying. And TV, you don't have to. They see it. You don't have to describe it to them. You don't have to paint the picture for them. You just have to basically take them along the ride. You know, I mean, we're taking this journey together in television. In radio, no, I'm painting the picture so you can come along with me in this journey. And that's it. I mean, it's it takes a lot more creativity for radio for you to be good at it.
Well, and you have to be able to carry the conversation, too.
Yes.
And there's an art to talking with people, not at people. And that's a hard thing for young broadcasters to learn. It was a hard thing for me to learn, but listeners know when you're talking at them versus talking to them or with them. So there's a real art to it.
It's funny you say that, because you give your story real quick. So one day when some guy was drunk and he was really trying to be an idiot, and he said to me, I know more about sports than you. I could do your job. I said, you probably do, but can you convince people to listen to you for 4 hours? My job is not to tell you how much I know. My job is to convince you to listen to it for 4 hours.
In an entertaining way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it cracks me up, too, when people say something along the lines of, I mean, you only work 4 hours a day. Wow. Like, what a cushy job you have. Not realizing how much work and prep goes into it. So before I let you go, because we're literally about 90 seconds, do your players, so you coach high school basketball, do your players listen to you? Do they know what you do in your spare time?
I got to be honest with you, the greatest thing about that is most of them don't. Their parents do.
Yeah.
Their parents do. I'll go some places and people want to take a selfie or talk to me, but they're like, what's going on here? What is going on here? And I love it. And even when they find out, they don't know the depth of it, which is great, because they just see me as Coach Long, which I'm perfectly fine with.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
The parents on the other side, on the other hand, they know what you do. And and many dads, you know, they strike interest in your program because they hear you on radio.
Yeah. I love the fact that most of my family, while they vaguely know what I do, couldn't care less about sports. It's that get away from me. That's that separation, which is great. Although I have to be careful now, because the Hubs, he likes college football, but he doesn't listen for sports. He only listens to know what I'm going to say about him.
Who's his team?
Who's his team? Oh, California. He's a Longhorns fan. Okay. I'm married into a Longhorn family. I have no choice now. Well, it's good to talk to you. You can find Rob on Twix at Rob Long Sports, and he's got to go across the floor and to a side studio so he can do his own Big Bad Morning Show.
Absolutely.
But it's good to have you here. It's
always
nice to actually look at you while I talk to you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good to be here.
I didn't even have a chance to ask you about Orioles or Ravens, but we'll do that another time.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, as we wind up here in the last few seconds, man, we've had two great guests. Sammy Leavitt, if you missed it, doing his first ever Padres games as the play-by-play announcer. And so he joined us in the wake of that. And also the Padres are red hot. They've won 22 of their last 27 games and have definitely caught the attention of the rest of baseball as well as fans around the country. And also Rob Long here in studio and just many of you. I'm sorry we didn't get to all your phone calls. We can do more coming up tonight. But I love radio. I've been a radio junkie since I was a kid, and it's good to know that we share that, a lot of us. So happy National Radio Week to you, and we'll talk again tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.